All right, everybody, welcome to the first of a weekly edition of the NeoCast that's going to be hanging out every Wednesday night here on NeoWin. We hope you join us to talk a little bit about what's going on with Microsoft and with everything else that's going on through the industry. Tonight, we're just going to take a couple quick looks at the headlines that have been making a little bit of noise this week. Specifically, Microsoft has a lot going on right now. Well, every company really has a lot going on right now, right before the holiday season, but Microsoft is at a pivot point in the company's history, putting out Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, and the Surface. If they don't make a big play this holiday season, there's going to be a lot of doubt coming into the Windows ecosystem future. So to kind of kick things off here, Justin says his stuff's twitching, messing with his audio. And that he's not a troll. So to get things kicked off here, let's just kind of, Tim and I are going to start to talk. Anybody else, feel free to jump in at any time, about the first thing that Microsoft has done. Earlier this week, they announced that they are expanding the distribution channel for the Surface. Originally, it was only through Microsoft stores, 8 countries around the world, but most of those 8 countries, it was online only. And Microsoft has come out swinging and said, in the U.S., starting this week, you can get a Best Buy and Staples. And then also in Australia, there's going to be a couple, at least one retail location. So that's where we're going to kick things off tonight. And, well, Tim, since you are from Australia, have you heard anything about the Surface going on down there?
Well, there hasn't been any. I haven't seen any advertising, which you'd assume that is the first thing that would come out first, you know, when they decide to announce they're selling the Surface in the stores. So I haven't seen any of that. I have been seeing some photos on Twitter being tweeted of like banner ads in like train stations and stuff. But along with the Windows 8 launch here, I don't think there's much. They're not doing like a huge amount, you know, to promote the Surface at all, really. I saw one ad once. That's really about it. But I hear they're selling it in JB Hi-Fi and Harvey Norman, I think, which are two of our big tech companies. So yeah, I'm going to probably head down maybe today or tomorrow and see what's going on there because I hear that they're in the stores already. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens there.
It's really an interesting play because there's several different ways you can look at this. There was the DigiTimes report that came out that said Microsoft is slashing production. Don't quote me, I think they said they were cutting it in half from 4 million to 2 million. So you have that information, which it's not always good to trust DigiTimes, but sometimes they're within the realm. And then you have Microsoft coming out and saying that they are expanding distribution. So there's a couple different ways I look at this. Either Microsoft built a whole bunch of the Surfaces expecting there to be a large rush on the product, and it didn't materialize. And all of a sudden, they have this huge back channel, and they want to expand the product. So at this point, they can say, well, you know what, we have a whole bunch of services sitting in the warehouse. Why don't we give them to Staples, the Best Buy, and down in Australia to start expanding the opportunities for the product? Or the other side of the coin would say, well, you know what, Microsoft met its production goals, and they now can produce quantity. Because with a new product like the Surface, you got to think about yield rates. Just because they have a facility up and running doesn't mean everyone that's coming down the line is a good unit. So could possibly have streamlined the production, and all of a sudden they can get it kicked out into more areas. My hypothesis is that Microsoft needed more. I'm trying to figure out the best way to say it. They needed more areas where consumers can get their hands on it because they don't have the Apple brand recognition. A consumer is not blindly typically going to throw out $400 on a product they've never touched that's not even available in physical form in their country. So from that perspective, they said, well, we need to get it into the hands, at least on store shelves, even if it is in limited quantities. I really think we're somewhere in the middle that they were selling decently well through the Microsoft stores, but they weren't meeting expectations, so they ramped up production or at least streamlined it so they could get it into the retail channel quicker. And then they obviously came out and said, you know what, you can get it at Staples, you can get it in Australia, you can get it at Best Buy, in the hopes that in this pivotal holiday season they can get it in front of the consumers. Because if you think about it, expanding the retail channel a month after the holiday season is really dumb. Because what did they gain from that? Yes, they might have gotten more traffic in the Microsoft stores, but they lost a bunch of sales. And then all of a sudden it's January, and now everybody can see the Surface, but they don't have any money to spend on it.
Yeah, true. What's really surprised me, at least here in Australia, they had like these Surface Experience Centers or whatever they call them, where they set up like a temporary holiday store similar to the United States, but they only had them up for like 3 days. It's like you have to be really diligent to know where these stores are going to be when they're out, you know, in your local shopping center to go and have a look. And then there's plenty of people that I know that were really gung-ho about getting a Surface, but either the experience center wasn't in their local store or they didn't know when the experience centers were. So then they couldn't end up, you know, having hands-on time with the product, which is really key for, like you said, for people, you know, wanting to buy the product before having to order it online. So, yeah, I'm surprised and I'm happy that they're bringing it to Australia, but, yeah. It's surprising they didn't go retail from the start. That's what I was surprised with, that it was just online only.
It's actually quite interesting. I realized that it was only open for approximately 3 days, because that's not a lot of time, because if specifically for people who, okay, if you live 10 minutes away from the Experience Center, that's fine. But if you live an hour away...
I was an hour away.
Exactly. So it's not something you just get up and, okay, it's after dinner, let's just go run down there. I mean, that's at least 2 hours. And considering they weren't very well dispersed, a lot of people had I'm sure they had that conversation, and by the time they came to a conclusion, the stores might have already been locked up and closed.
Mm. Yeah, so I actually wanted to go to one, and I looked online for when their dates were, you know, when they had the stores there, and they're all already gone, all way out of Australia, you know, probably in China or somewhere, you know, selling the Surface. So I thought, well, I missed my opportunity now. I'm not going to recommend the Surface until I've had hands-on time with it, which, you know, that's pretty sensible, right? So I ended up telling people, don't get a Surface for Christmas, because if you can't have hands-on time, you can't possibly say it's good enough for you yet. So,
and especially with the hands-on time, those touch covers are, I don't want to say they're a novelty, because they are pretty cool. But anybody who's looking to do a serious amount of typing, it's not a fantastic experience, because to simulate typing on one of those covers, just start typing on a piece of wood. And imagine you're hitting keys. There's no tactical feedback. There's nothing that's going to say, yes, you hit the right key, no, you didn't. I mean, it's an awkward affair. Obviously, there's a learning curve, and you'll get used to it. But if anybody says, you know what, I want to write emails daily on this, type cover any day of the week.
And they're not bundled.
I don't know. I'll be curious to see how they evolve that touch cover. I hope that they can find a way to get a little like membrane bubble under there, so you can actually have a, even if it's just, it doesn't need much. It just needs that subtle little just compression. I don't know.
It's like here in Australia, the touch cover retails for like $150. Like seriously, I have a mechanical keyboard here, just here, that I'm using with this desktop computer. That cost less than it would cost for the touch cover, I mean the type cover, which is, it's ridiculous. Like, this is a proper full-on, you know, high-end keyboard that I've got here, and they're selling the type cover for more.
And there's no battery in that cover. If it came with a lithium-ion battery in there that boosted the life of the device, yeah, maybe I could see that a little bit, but no, I mean, it's literally just felt circuitry, and that's it. It literally, if you've never felt one, it literally feels like if you took felt and stretched it over cardboard. That's exactly the feeling that you get. So it's not like leather. It's not like a super premium feel by any means.
And they're selling it at a premium price.
Right. Like, they're trying to do that little Apple screw you with the accessory mentality with, you're already in the product. That's the only place you can get it. So here's in the U.S., I think it's $119. Unless you buy it bundled, then you save approximately 20%. It's $100. I'm the same with you. I don't really see the value, how they came to the justification of $120 for a keyboard.
Yeah, did it come out that the cover actually cost like $16 or something? Like, they're
that
selling
it. Surprised me.
I mean, it's selling for a huge margin.
I mean, it, even the type cover, if you think about what it is, it's just a keyboard laptop.
That's basically
all it is. It's nothing special. It's there's no way it costs $100. I think $40 would be a nice little sweet spot for it.
And the thing is, like people like Asus have got their Transformer tablets, the VivoTab RT or whatever it's called, and you can dock that into it. It's a full-on keyboard. It's a proper. It feels like a laptop keyboard. It's got an extra battery in there. And now they're undercutting. They're already undercutting the Surface prices because they realize that their product, you know, they can sell it for cheaper. They've got a better. They think they've got a better product because they're selling the touch covers for way too much.
Yep, and that's an extremely fair point. I think. I don't know. I don't know when Microsoft is going to give us any hard figures on this, because if you think about it, they're not very well from a financial perspective. I can tell you this with an absolute fact. From an SEC perspective, the sales of the device until they're material to the company's operations, they don't have to disclose really anything about them. And from that perspective, the Surface will. I would seriously doubt if the Surface ever becomes, you know, a $300 million operation for Microsoft. I don't even know what their threshold is to become material, but considering they have, it's like $20 billion companies there, it's going to take a very long time before that Surface is a really a big line item for the company, which means they don't actually have to tell you how many they've sold. We can already see this with the Windows Phone. There's a reason why they haven't told us how many they've sold. It's because they don't have to. Even though they're a public company, it's not a material value to the company. It's not a material value to the shareholders. So they can remain quiet on it. They don't have to say, you know what, we sold 10 million last month.
Yeah, and if it's not good, they're not going to say. Like, I understand why they said about the Windows 8 sales, 40 million. That's a pretty good number. But if the Surface is only hitting, you know, a couple of million and you've only got a couple of million Windows phones, it's not worth telling it at the time. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. Exactly. They're not going to say.
And Ballmer gave the worthless statistic that it was four times the sales of last year. It goes back to, like, this is the Amazon mentality. Well, it's four times greater than what? One? So they sold four?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people made a lot of hubris about that statement. And, it was literally meaningless because we don't have a basis for justification on how much how many volumes or how many units were actually moved.
Yeah, but I do reckon that at least here in Australia, when they're coming out with their... the retail presence, I think they will get a lot more sales because that you've got people in there, they're touching it, they're feeling it, they're looking at it, they can decide whether or not it's better than the established iPad right there in the store. And as I said before, I'm still really puzzled why they didn't go retail from the beginning.
An interesting thought about that too is you can see this in their Windows Phone campaign or their Windows Phone 8 is I don't know why they're not attacking the emotional aspect of the device like Apple does. Because there's a strong, I don't have the figure off the top of my head, but mothers or moms in a relationship control a significant amount of buying power. I mean, any husband wants to go out and buy an electronic, they got to go ask their wife. If a kid wants something, they ask mom. And Apple's very good at about playing to that emotional aspect. And Microsoft needs to, in some way, address the emotional connection that you can use with Skype. You can make the device personal like they're doing with their Windows Phone campaign so that you have a reason to buy it. Right now, the Surface it almost seems like they're pushing for the edginess of it, how it's got a kickstand, but you can't adjust the kickstand, which is annoying. The other thing is you can't use it on your lap. They'll say, it works well on your lap, but Rafael, I think Riviera was saying he used it on his lap and it fell off and his USB thumb drive snapped off.
Oh my God!
So they need. I've been waiting for some company to do this, and I was really hoping Microsoft would do it. Some company needs to come out and say we're the American company. I know you're from Australia, Tim, but at least here in the States, patriotism is huge. If Microsoft would have come out and said this is America's tablet, start to bridge that connection. They could have done so much more. And then, to your point, why wasn't it in retail right away? I don't think their strategy, at least outside the States, was very strong.
No, it really wasn't.
It goes back to the distribution. Microsoft is... they're like the smartest kid on the block when it comes to developing things, and then they just pay 50 cents to their marketing department. I mean, they built this fantastic tablet, and then... their marketing, their first commercial was good, but they need a new marketing department. They need to redo these commercials. I'm not a big fan of of what they've been doing, and they need to kill the dubstep too. Holy crap, they've been beating that to death. So,
I mean, the click-in campaign was catchy, but it wasn't a thing that tells you why I should buy it. It's just saying, oh, look, we've made this device, it's cool.
Well, the thing about the click-in campaign is they're promoting a tablet, and how are they promoting a tablet? They're promoting a tablet by saying it comes with a keyboard.
And think about that for a second.
A tablet is supposed to be used, you just grab and go. It's not supposed to be, oh, here's another device with a keyboard. I mean, for Christ's sake, Microsoft, we need to get away from the keyboard and mouse. That's what's killing, in my mind, the image of the tablet. They're not promoting the tablet. They're promoting that the tablet comes with a clicking keyboard.
True.
Something seems very fundamentally wrong there. If Windows 8 and Windows RT was designed around touch, stop promoting the keyboard. So, I don't know. That's my 2-second rant on the whole promoting of the keyboard. But anyways, the Surface, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out and where it goes from here. They've got a lot
of... I really hope it takes off, especially the Pro. I mean, I know a lot of people on Neowen said they wanted to get the Pro, and to be honest, I hope they buy it. I mean, it's not that poorly priced at $899, so...
No, I think $899 is actually a really strong price point. And then I'm assuming that it'll be $999, and it'll come bundled with, hopefully, the tight cover as opposed to the touch cover. That'll be big. But even the RT model, what it was saying, had 0.13... percent of 1% of the web share market, which it seems like a small number, but I don't think anybody should be discouraged by that, because there's a couple different reasons. One, it's a brand new product. It's been on the market for 6 weeks. Anybody who bought that for somebody for Christmas, it's wrapped and it's not actually being used right now. So from that perspective, you're not getting that market share. And you can't compare it, a 6-week-old product market share, to the iPad, which has been one out for three or four years now.
Yeah.
The more damning information that came out of that whole report was the fact that Android only had 0.91, or give or take, of 1% of the tablet market. Or I should say that was really? that was the Google Nexus 7 and the Nexus 10. Google's own products were less than 1%, and they've been out since what? And the Nexus 7 came out in July.
Oh, July, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little bit more concerning for Google. So it doesn't look like they're moving too many of those. And it just goes, again, to show how strong Apple's image is in this market. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think it's probably especially strong in markets like here, where other tablets, they don't exist. You can barely find anything else in the stores apart from the iPad.
Yeah, and... That goes back to a lot of consumer demand. Consumer demand is pretty strong for that iPad, so why stock anything else? It also goes back to the vendors, too. They haven't been... I mean, there's not a lot of Windows 8 products out right now. I mean, there's the notebook hybrids are starting to come out. Like, I really want to get my hands on a production Yoga 13. I got to play with pre-production back at CES, and it was a great device. So I really want to see what that is like. But even from that, there's not a whole lot of Pro or whatever, Windows 8 Pro tablets on the market.
So yeah, I don't think I've seen one. I've seen convertibles but they don't really count as just a tablet, is it? It's a different thing.
The Samsung Series 7 is out, I've got one right behind me, and I know that's out on the market, but that's not really being pushed all that much because that was, again, a Windows 7 device that's just repurposed to run Windows 8.
And still, I went into Harvey Norman recently down here, and they had one of the Slate 7s, and they were still running Windows 7 on it after the Windows 8 release, and I thought, not going to sell it with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. So, anyways, I don't want to say I can send a tweet out. So let's just kind of move on here. So that's obviously the Surface in a nutshell and a lot more. You recently had the good fortune of updating a Windows Phone 8 device. Tell me about that. How'd that go?
Yeah, as you can see, I've got the 8X here. That recently got updated to whatever, Portico or something, what they're calling the update.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
It was very smooth, actually. I mean, I had to force the update. I didn't get a notification or anything. I thought I'll force it into the phone update thing. The problem that I had is that it took a very long time. It took, I think, at least half an hour for that update to prepare and download and install. And I just thought that that was probably a bit too long to be without your device. I mean, you can't use it at all when it's doing this sort of thing. But overall, I mean, it was smooth, and I enjoyed not having to plug it into my computer. That's a huge pain. And yeah, I guess one of the things that would be, this is one of the things that would be handy for a notification center in Windows Phone 8, is that I assume once you get notified that you have an update, you're not going to be notified again, and you could easily forget. You could easily forget that there's an update waiting unless you go into the settings. So unlike Android, where it comes down the drop-down notification, you can just whack it, get the update whenever you want. But yeah, overall, pretty smooth process here. They're not coming out in the United States right yet.
No, it's just, I mean, like this Lumia 820, 822 here for Ryzen doesn't have it.
Yeah, my Lumia 920 doesn't have the update either, and that's an international one, so it's just a check.
It kind of makes you, this is I don't want to call this an issue with Windows Phone 8, but it goes back to the people who want to be the most up-to-date, who like to have the most recent items. If you're on a Google phone, if you're going to Android, you go with a Nexus, and you're going to get it right away.
Yeah.
Windows, if you're on Apple, you know you're going to get it the day of, which is a huge feature that Apple fanboys love to rag about, is when a new update comes out, it's available to everybody right away. And then this goes back to my biggest grudge with Microsoft and Windows Phone. They're so ambiguous on the updates or just communicating in general. I mean, this update really just appeared out of nowhere. It was just like, holy crap, we got updates. There was not a lot of communication. And then everybody else with a Windows Phone 8 now is wondering, where am I going to get the update? And nobody knows. There's no communication.
Yeah, I mean, it's pushing to one device in one market. I mean, it's not pushing to all 8Xs. It's just pushing to the international ones. Right. They really need to get on board and just at least push it out to all the devices at once, or do what they did previously and give people that. I mean, it was a pretty ambiguous notice about when it was coming, but it's better than nothing. It's better than just coming out of nowhere.
And you're exactly right. And so now all these Windows Phone 8 users, at least the tech-savvy ones, are sitting there going, how do I get this update? When is it going to arrive? What does it bring? And you know, what can I expect on my end? Do I need it? Is it going to add things? Does it fix the reboot issue that a lot of people were complaining about?
Yeah, it doesn't say the new features of the phone when it finished updating. It just says go to windowsupdate.com or something to check it out. I mean, I couldn't be bothered doing that. It'd be nice if it had a nice little list telling you. I mean, like for example, the 8X, it added the Wi-Fi on feature and a couple of other SMS features, but I didn't know that. You had to hunt them down, and most people wouldn't even be looking for stuff like this.
And I don't know. It all goes back to Microsoft communicating, which there's a lot of more factors. I mean, with Apple, they control the hardware and the software. And Microsoft obviously controls the software but not the hardware. So, and then there's also the carriers that are involved. So there's a lot more moving parts, and I can understand why they can't just automatically push the update out to everybody. And there's obviously a lot going on with that. But anyways, they need to just communicate and say, okay, you know what, HTC 8X is getting it. We're testing it to test. I mean, this could have just been a test update to see if they can do it. I mean, if you remember Windows Phone 7, I can't remember, it was one of the first updates. It was just a disaster. Some people were getting it. Some people weren't. It was screwing up their phone. Carriers were blocking
it. And that ruined their phones, didn't it? Like, they couldn't get updates because they forced it.
It was a stupid trick. Like, you had to plug it in to Zune update, the Zune software sync, and then unplug it at a certain time, then it would trick the phone into releasing the update. I mean, it was a ridiculous update. But it all just goes back to their communication model, and it's terrible. And you can, again, see this communication model with Windows Phone 7.8. They're not even talking about pushing it out. Like, we know more from leaks than Microsoft has come forward. They announced the 7.8 back in June. They gave us an update that said, I think it's coming in Q1 or in January or whenever.
The backlash from that. People were so annoyed at how long it had taken, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, I don't blame them either, because we can get to the merits of if Microsoft is abandoning Windows Phone 7 users, but again, it's just the ambiguous of this thing, okay, you're going to get an update, but we're not going to tell you what it's going to bring, and we're not going to tell you who all is getting it, because not every Windows Phone 7 device is actually getting it. I'd hedge my bet and say the Dell Venue Pro is probably not getting it, and I think LG came out and said, we're not going to update our devices either.
Yeah, I mean, you can guarantee the second generation Windows Phone 7 devices like your Titan, your Radar, your Lumias will get it, but
yeah,
I mean, they've just messed it up again. They've done it again.
And it goes back to Microsoft has great engineers, but just a terrible time at communicating. I don't know. It's not a new phenomenon. This has been going on with Microsoft for some time, that they can't communicate well. I mean, we saw it with the Surface and even Windows on ARM when it was first announced. I mean, they announced Windows on ARM at CES, was that 2012? Was that last year? No, I think it was a year before.
CES 2012 was earlier this year.
Whenever they announced Windows on ARM.
Really early this year, I think.
Yeah, it was back in January this year. And then it was dead silence pretty much on the platform all the way up until June. We were again just left ambiguous. And then in my opinion, they botched Windows RT because it's the naming Windows RT, then you also have the runtime Windows WinRT. But putting the desktop icon on Windows RT was a terrible idea as well. Because it's not a desktop. It's simply there to run a few specific applications, and they could have masked it. They could have left the form and function there, but literally just put a black screen or something over it so that you could launch Word and all of that from the start screen. And then, I don't know, but I think that's another confusion point, because a lot of people see the desktop and they say, let me go download X application. Well, no, you can't. And it's just one more point of communication that Microsoft now has to go down to explain why that desktop is there. And I bet that they eventually do pull it. But right now, if you walk into a Microsoft store, you'll see the desktop icon, and then some poor little salesperson has to sit there and explain, no, it's not really the desktop. It looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, but it's not actually a duck. So,
And I can imagine that a poorly trained member of staff is not even going to tell you that.
Yep.
And I've seen plenty of poorly trained staff members in computer stores. So,
especially now that they're outside the Microsoft store as well. I mean, they're in the Best Buy. Best Buy is not exactly known. They claim they gave 50,000 hours of training, but if you actually extrapolate that across all their employees that are actually working, it's not a very large number.
true. Yeah, so, I'm glad it's coming to the stores, but the desktop should be hidden away in control panel or something. Like, they need to make it, either remove it, as you said, or make it hard to access so that people don't accidentally stumble across it and think, oh, look, I've got a full-blown desktop computer now, and then try and install their favorite games and apps and realize, oh, wait, doesn't work.
No, totally agree with you on that. Anyways, back to the Windows Phone 8 update. After you ran it, was all of your stuff still synced? Did you have to resync anything? Was all your content still there?
No, it was all there. It did this porting data thing, which Android does as well. It like upgrades the apps or something. It does something and it tells you that it's doing it. That took a little bit of time. But also what I was really pleased with is that I had all my texts on the 8X. This is not related to this update, but I'm just saying it's a good feature. Mm-hmm. Then when I got my Lumia, all my messages, as soon as I put in my Microsoft account, it just pulled it from the cloud and all my messages were there, and I thought that was really good. I mean, I had to obviously remake my start screen and everything like that, but I was really happy that all my data had pulled across, because I was worried that I'd have like fragmented texts and all this sort of stuff, so I was really happy about that.
Microsoft has done a really good job. I don't think people give SkyDrive enough credit, but SkyDrive is a huge backbone of Microsoft. I mean, it's now out on the Xbox, you have it on Windows 8, you have it on Windows RT, you have it on OS X, you have it on iOS, you have it on Android. Microsoft has built this tremendous backbone that can now talk to each other pretty seamlessly across any product. I really think SkyDrive is going to be huge for Microsoft, because they're doing things that nobody else can, because, one, they have the financial backing to do it, things that other companies can't, like Dropbox can't really get onto the Xbox so easily. They can't do some of the things that, because Microsoft owns all the hardware, that they can do. And to your point exactly, I mean, it's not necessarily SkyDrive, that was your Microsoft account that was tying all of your data together. But it just, again, goes to show that Microsoft has brilliant engineers, that they can do all the things that we need, but sometimes when it comes to execution or communication, they're terrible. Windows Phone is perfect. Porting from device to device, I mean, it takes seconds. When I hopped, one of the coolest things was when I was on my Surface and I changed the background, my desktop updated and my Windows 7 or Windows 8 slate back there updated.
That's pretty cool. Awesome.
Although sometimes I wish I could have different backgrounds and I got to figure out which setting that is. So when I'm on a different device, I actually have a separate background. But yeah, Microsoft is a brilliant company. They're brilliant ideas. They just suck at communication. that's what it comes back to.
Yeah, true. I just noticed actually that both my 8X and Lumia have exactly the same data pretty much across the board. So yeah, as you said, SkyDrive is working wonders for them. Although the SkyDrive app on Windows Phone 8 doesn't actually work. So they probably should fix that, because I can't load my photos in there, which is pretty stupid.
That's an odd little issue. I don't think I've ever had that issue, but that sure it wouldn't surprise me if there's a bug, especially across how many people are bug across all the different platforms.
I don't think it's been updated for Windows Phone 8 yet, so it's probably the problem.
Yeah, they're still scrambling to get everything aligned and all of that stuff. So anyways, moving on to the, let's see here, the Apple versus Microsoft, the battle of iOS apps. Earlier this week, actually, it might even been today, we started hearing murmurs of Apple and Microsoft going back and forth because Microsoft doesn't want to give Apple the subscription fees for the reoccurring payments. This has a lot more issues, implications, I should say, than just SkyDrive, because Office for iOS is coming this spring. And that's obviously going to be subscription-based because as Microsoft moves to software as a service, and they don't want Apple taking 30% every time somebody renews their subscription.
Yeah.
There are ways around this, but it sounds like from what everybody's reporting is that Microsoft is okay with giving Apple a little bit of cash for it, but they're not willing to do 30% every single time.
It's a lot, especially over the course of your... Didn't they say that if you buy more data on SkyDrive or whatever, that you'd have to, they'd have to give 30% over the entire lifetime that they had that subscription because of the way that it works. And even if they're using it on their Android device or on their, you know, Surface or whatever, they still have to pay this fee, which seems unnecessary.
And that's an unnecessary fee, and obviously Apple is Apple, and they're not going to change their ways because they want the same rules for every developer, no matter who you are. Again, it's Microsoft, and Microsoft and Apple actually have a very comfortable relationship, even though they're arch enemies. They do a lot of patent sharing. And from that perspective, they might hate each other on the retail shelves, but behind the doors, they're much more buddy-buddy in their fight against Google, because they know that Google is the actual arch enemy between the two.
Mm.
So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. There is a workaround that Microsoft can do. It's not nearly as elegant. Netflix and Hulu Plus, those are all on iOS devices, but your purchases are not done in-app. You have to go
to a web browser.
Right, and you can't, I believe the iOS store says you can't even have a purchase link like within the app. So basically Microsoft would have to utilize like office365.com. You'd have to go up there, sign up and pay, and then go download your app, which obviously is a very cumbersome experience. And if you play to the lowest common denominator, you know that consumers are going to just want to download the app and then they're going to be mad when it doesn't work.
True.
And then all of a sudden iOS on whatever, or Office on iOS is now garbage because people can't figure it out, and we know how one-star ratings go over, and it's just going to be a bad time. And Microsoft's obviously doing the right thing and trying to hedge their losses. But it sounds like Apple is not wanting to play nice.
Yeah, the 30% thing is fine for, you know, indie developers with their games and stuff like that. Hey, Tyler, someone joined the Hangout. No, it's good. It's good for the indie developers, but I can understand why Microsoft is not happy about 30%. I mean, 30% it's a lot of money over the course of years and years and years. So,
you know that iOS. Office on iOS is going to sell a boatload too. It's not going to be just a one-time off purchase. It's not a 99-cent Angry Bird. There's a lot of corporations with iOS apps out there, iOS devices like the iPad, and they are going to want Office on it. And it's going to be a significant revenue stream for Microsoft.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? You've got your $99 subscription to Office 365, and they'd have to pay $30 per year. Would go straight to Apple out of that in the scheme. Like,
yeah, but, I mean, that's what it sounds like. I mean, I don't know how much they would... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about Apple's App Store to see if they would get all $30 or how that all plays out, but still, it's a reoccurring charge that Microsoft doesn't want to pay year over year to Apple. It's got to hurt to write that check.
Yeah, true. It'd be a massive check after, you know, all the users are adding up.
Well, you know, it's the back pocket revenue stream that they're not tapping. Everybody knows it's there. They know it's there. And they're just waiting for that moment to when they push it out there, and they know the money's going to start flowing in. So I don't know. We'll have to see how that plays out and see what actually goes on here.
Yeah, true.
All right. We kind of started to talk about this a little bit before, but then we're down to the last topic of the evening, Windows Phone 7.8.
What a mess. What a mess.
I previously written, I believe it was on Newen, that the launch of Windows Phone 8 was just an utter disaster. The reason why is because Microsoft's communication channel, again, just fell apart. We had the SDK leak, we had another SDK leak, we had information leaking all over the web, and Microsoft is just twiddling their thumbs between June and October, just not saying anything. And then we have that exact same experience again with Windows Phone 7.8. They came out with it in June. They gave us a little crumble of information after it had been leaked that it was coming in.
Oh, you get the start screen and other things.
Yeah, and we won't tell you when, and we won't tell you the full details of it. We won't tell you how you're going to get it. We won't tell you what devices are going to get it. And it's just like Groundhog's Day, the movie. I mean, it's just the same cluster of communication failures over and over and over and over again. And one of these days, somebody's just going to snap and just, I don't know. Microsoft and its 90,000 employees need to get their head around actually communicating things online, on time, and in an efficient manner so consumers aren't just sitting. I mean, I have a Lumia 920 in this back drawer. I have no idea what's going to happen with it.
Yeah, exactly. You mean a 900, right? Because the 920
Hold on, let me grab it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I've got this device right here, and I have idea when it's going to get an update. So at this point, I mean, I don't know. And then it's a story of two phones. No idea when this one's getting Windows Phone 7.8. No idea when this one is getting the new Windows Phone 8 update.
True.
I mean,
I think here in Australia, they might even still be selling Windows Phone 7 devices. That would be just terrible. I'm just going to check that. Oh, I hope they aren't.
Yeah, I don't know. And the thing is even if they buy it, is Windows Phone 7.8 the end of the road? There was a leak slide that said that there was another update possibly after Windows Phone 7.8. It wasn't defined, but again, Microsoft hasn't said when they're actually going to stop supporting Windows Phone 7.8. Or I should say Windows Phone 7. So, I mean, they've done a good job so far updating it, but we don't know when the actual end of the road is. And to your point, what happens to the people who buy those phones today?
Yeah, I mean, they're not... I just looked, they're actually not selling them. But still, you could have bought one, say, a month ago even in Australia, and you have no idea whether you're getting an update. You're running software that's almost a year old. They need to get in the game and start informing people, you know, start telling the people in the stores, start not just say... You know, we'll give it to you sometime.
And then the other monkey on the table is that none of the Windows Phone 8 specific applications will run on Windows Phone 7.8 devices. That's the other thing that they kind of just keep skirting under the table. It's like, oh, there's all these applications out there now, but let's just say you buy one of the Windows Phone 7.8 devices that are still being come out by Nokia. All of a sudden, all the new apps, like the new Twitter app that's coming... That because the native Twitter app on Windows Phone 7.5 is just garbage, you won't get. So I don't know. I think Microsoft Microsoft's got to figure out their communication issues. They need to just iron a few things out. I think they've got good products, but it's just going to take some time for them to get actually on the ball. But at least we finally have an ecosystem.
Finally. It looks good, too. It looks really good.
It does. Like, whatever, the Xbox, the Glass application works really, really well.
Mm.
Syncing with SkyDrive works really, really well. Windows 8 just streaming natively to the Xbox. I mean, it's a very simple and straightforward and fluid experience. You know, Microsoft is in a good position. I don't want to be all negative on Microsoft because I'm quite bullish on them. But it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time for Microsoft to iron out all their kinks. And hopefully we'll see them do it before... Hopefully we'll see them do it before they fall off a financial cliff.
Yeah, true. A little bit of polish, a little bit of polish here and there, a little bit more information, and they'll have a great... It'll be great for them. Really great.
Yeah, I certainly think so here. Okay. I don't know if you have anything else, Tim, here for our inaugural Wednesday night chat discussions.
Who knows? I think I'm all out of the week's news, I think.
Alrighty, well, we will wrap it up for this week. We will be back next Wednesday, probably closer to 8 p.m. Hopefully you'll join us, and we'll catch you all later.
Yeah, true. Also, this will be up on, if you haven't caught us live this time, you'll be able to watch it on YouTube. I think it's on my channel. So they'll be in the post up on Neowin if you want to check back, and I'll try to get an audio one up just in case. Looks like this guy here has an 8X with him. Nice guy. It's a good phone.
It is a good phone.
Yeah, does but
your,
if...
Does your 8X have wireless charging? Oh.
Hang on, have I muted or unmuted him?
I think you muted
I don't know. These buttons don't say anything. They're stupid buttons. Hang on, I think... No, it's still muted. Hang on. Nope. Oh, this is what a piece of crap! Does it say what's this button do? Nope.
Oh,
that's showing. That's mute. It says mute, and is it unmute? No, it's just two mutes.
Oh, I can hear you. Wait, say something.
Okay, there we go.
We got it working. Yes.
Wow, that was fun. Oh yeah, Google, awesome.
So how are you liking
the 8X? I haven't messed with wireless charging. I think that's what you were saying.
Yeah.
I really haven't messed with that. I don't know if you need like some kind of thing like the Lumia does, where you have like a charging pad where you set it on it. I couldn't find anything like that. I got this at T-Mobile, so they didn't have anything of the sort. I don't know if you can buy it online at HTC or whatever, but...
I heard from the guy at, Anantech, that the Energizer charging pads work, the ones that you can put two devices on them. Mm-hmm. I think those ones support it. Also, the Lumia one should support it as well. It's all the same thing. It's all the same standard.
Yeah. What I found really cool, I actually got to try it out, was the tap and send on here.
NFC, it's great.
Samsung, like the S3, has been touting like it's its special feature, whatever. It's like a lot of phones actually have that. So
yeah,
I don't know why they're boasting about like that special feature, but I can just take my HTC 8X and do the same thing to like S3 or another Windows phone, or even like the Surface or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it does the same thing. It's pretty cool. I'm not really sure like how many people actually get a benefit of that. I mean, it's nothing.
I've never
it's
used.
It's not like you just want to go out like, oh, I'm on a playlist here. Let's touch phones.
Yeah,
it's not really such a big deal. It's a nice feature. If it would be like marketed better or like things that are made for that, I guess. But right now, it's a feature that's just there.
Yeah,
I just thought it'd be. Like, with Android, I mean, I know with Windows Phone you have to accept the NFC incoming thing, but with Android, you touch the two phones together, you tap on the phone that's sending, it sends it to the Android phone straight away. And I thought, surely someone is going to think to send people porn using this.
Exactly.
And they don't want it. Like, someone is going to do this in the street. I think that would be so funny when...
Well, that's Android. I mean, they're about just putting things out there, letting people do whatever they want, and it's gone on okay for now, like, for so long, but, like, the Android marketplace is just saturated with spam junk. And... exactly, yeah, junk. So they need to rework their security features on that. I mean, it's nice to get a notification on here saying, yeah, I want to accept this, instead of just be walking down the street and boom, you just kind of have a, like he was saying, like porn or something on there. It's like, oh, look at that. It's like, yeah, cool. No, and like that cheesy, what was it?
You could Rickroll
people. I think
it's
the S3 commercial. Is that that S3 commercial where it's like, oh, I've made you a video, don't watch that on the plane. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I did a quick search for your 8X. Any charging pad that abides to the QI standard will work.
Yeah, but isn't it? It's only the Verizon model that has the wireless charging in it. Am I right? Because I know my one definitely doesn't have wireless charging in it.
Yeah, I believe it is.
Oh, Verizon. Look, we have a.
Yeah. The nice California blue. Have the corners on your device started to rub off the color? Because
no. Well, I've read about that, like a lot of people doing that. I'm not sure what they're doing, like if they're trying to like draw with their 8X. I don't know.
No, I think it's just putting like tight jeans and stuff. It's like there's a little bit of, you probably won't be able to see this at all, but there's a little bit of black. Like you can tell that it's a soft touch, like blue coat,
yeah, coating
over the black, a black like almost Galaxy S style plastic under there. So I think it's a bit disappointing, and I'm going to.
I don't know why they would do that. Why they wouldn't just add the color into whatever they're making it? That's just kind of weird. Why they would do something like that?
The Lumia has it. The Lumia has color all the way through. I mean, I just have a black one. It's pretty boring. But if that was red, you wouldn't get the rubbing off problem. But oh well, their problem.
I think they just need to make it a solid. I think they just did it for obviously to be cheap, and then. Just so they can just change the color if they come out with new things. They don't have to remake a new batch of, let's say, whatever this material is, like a rubbery, whatever. They don't just have to make a new color of it. They can just spray it on, whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure people will send it back. People will send it back on warranty, I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. But lucky it's only in the corners for now. Like, it's not... If you show someone the color, it's not black. It's definitely blue still, but... Yeah, I'm disappointed.
Yeah,
corners.
I don't think that'd be like much of a problem unless you're trying to like throw it around, use it as a football, kind of just get a piece of paper and start trying to draw with it. But I haven't had that problem yet, but I haven't really had it that long, so I'm sure it'll start to surface eventually.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over time, because obviously most people are locked into their device for about 2 years.
Yeah, I got a two-year contract, but meh.
I think about this for about 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, and just start to do it. So,
see, my problem is I've been a Mac guy and like iOS, and I really love the Windows Phone. It's a very great operating system. It's nothing like Android, where it's kind of like a copy of iOS in a way. Like it just feels the same, but just a few add-ons, like with functionality that really just don't make any sense. Like Windows moving about in a circle. Who cares? But Windows Phone 8 is really intuitive, like even Windows Phone 7, completely different. The thing is, a lot of things just don't work the way you would expect them to.
Yeah.
Like, I love the features where Twitter, Facebook, even SkyDrive and stuff is really integrated in the operating system of it, where you don't have to use a bunch of different apps to post an update, check weather, whatever. But a lot of stuff, when you do have apps on them, they just, being a designer, they feel very cluttered, very tight, and not like where iOS. You can, a lot of the apps, if they're designed correctly, feel like they match with the phone itself, like it's part of it. With the Windows Phone apps, they kind of feel out of place a bit. Like even with an Facebook app that's made by Microsoft, it just feels bulky. I don't know if you get what I mean. Like it's a flat interface, but it feels bulky when I'm using it.
Yeah,
like they sometimes don't adhere to the style or something, and it turns out to be really bad.
Like, they're not necessarily terrible apps, it's just...
Yeah.
Not a lot of thought went into them. Like, they were like, yeah, we'll just use the same thing as the previous one, add a few features, that's it.
Like, it really gets me the thing here with, like, here's the Flickster app, and as you can see at the top of the screen, there's that black bar, because it's using a colored background, so you can tell that there's the black bar there. Because there's some other apps you don't necessarily notice, but they really need to fix that. That's that just annoys me so much.
Like, I don't know, it's not really a great example to show, but with Groupon here, that huge, like, every single app has that huge...
The huge banner at the top.
Yeah, the banner. Like, I'm not even sure what to call it. It's
a waste of space most of the time.
Yeah. You don't need that at all. I mean, you could put a giant logo there. I mean, you look at iOS apps and even Android. It's a small banner, and that's just taking real estate up that you could have for more content viewing stuff. So that's a design flaw.
It looks cool, but it's not productive.
No.
It's definitely a form and function issue that Microsoft needs to overcome here.
And the thing that bothers me is that when you swipe across, like the logo, like on all the apps, it just kind of scrolls to the left. I don't understand that at all. Like, I don't know if you've had that, like with the Facebook thing, you swipe to the left and it just keeps moving over and over and over until it pops back.
Yep. Yeah, like it moves not as much as the actual columns that you're moving, so it seems kind of strange. Yeah, oh well.
And that's really good feedback, though. I'm sure Microsoft will love to hear that, you know, for better or for worse, because there's only two ways to make an application better. You either kill it and just say we're done and start over, or you're trying to keep adapting what you have to make it work. And I think they can eventually do it. Obviously, Windows Phone 8, the whole Live Tile experience is completely different, as you were saying. It's like nothing else on the market. It's going to take time to mature. And once they finally get you, it's going to be just like iOS. I mean, if you remember the first iOS that came out, didn't even have picture messaging.
Yeah, no.
For Christ's sake. So.
Well, the difference with iOS and Windows Phone already is that iOS looks exactly the same as it did when it first came out. I won't say exactly. They've made a few UI changes, but overall,
it's essentially the same.
Yeah, it's just a box with text on the home screen that you move across. At least from Windows Phone 7 to 8, you have a lot of the different functionality with the tiles. You can resize them, move them about, even space them differently. I found out on this, which I didn't know you could do. You can even like make them in odd spaces. They don't have to be nice and tight together. They can be...
Yeah. I mean, if you look at...
Yeah, and you've got the live wallpapers and stuff. And they're not live wallpapers, are they? They're called...
You're stuck to that grid. You can never change that.
Yeah. But I think the real thing that is really holding Windows Phone back, and I think you guys heard this over and over and over on Newen, is the lack of the ecosystem on the App Store. Mm-hmm. A lot of developers are not making apps for the Windows Phone, and that's going to be a problem for them.
And I'll even take it a step further. There's plenty of apps out there, but it's the ongoing support of the application. Like, look at Twitter, for example. Everybody just got filters.
Yeah, where's ours? I mean,
so that's my biggest beef at this point, is they need long-term developer support, not a write once and we'll come back in a year.
Yeah.
So,
Go ahead. I was just saying, I'm on Dribbble and stuff, and I see a lot of apps that have been pushed out all of the time, a lot of great developers' ideas and such. Just none of them are making them for Windows Phone, and even Android at times. The main focus for apps is for the Apple thing, like you have it on the iPhone, iPad, iPod, and sometimes to the Mac Store. So I think Microsoft really needs to do something like for developers, like hold a competition maybe, give developers more incentive to move to like adapt their apps to Windows Phone. They don't have to be completely native at first, like that are just structurally built for this, but they need to bring their ideas to it. That way the apps ecosystem on there has the apps that people want. Because if you're on an iPhone or even Android and you want to make the move to something different and they don't have the apps that you want and they don't work as well as the apps that are before, you're not going to want to move. Mm. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, I found a lot. A lot of the apps I was using on Android, there are Windows Phone equivalents for a lot of them. Some of them you just can't get, and other times the apps are really poor quality. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely get what you're saying. I think a lot of the time, like when they start selling the phones on the feature basis that they have, then the developers will start coming, because I mean there's a lot of great features that they can advertise great features in Windows Phone.
Oh, yeah.
And once they start doing that and people start going, oh, I want a Windows Phone, then the apps will start coming. At least that's what I hope will happen, but no guarantees.
What makes me laugh is that there's a lot of apps now that have been doing this. I don't want to say Metro because they keep changing this all the time. I don't know why. I thought Metro was a great thing. I'm just going to say Metro. Whatever. But a lot of apps for iOS. There's a new Twitter app called Twitterific or something for iOS. Yep. Just came out with Flat. It reminds me of like a Windows Phone layout, how flat it is, just how clean it is, and even Clear. I don't know if you know Clear for iOS.
Mm-hmm.
That functionality reminds me of like Windows Phone 7. Like, there's very minimal. Like, it's just based upon gestures, like swiping left or right, up and down with Clear and stuff like that. And that's a lot of functionality based on Windows Phone. So it looks to me like a lot of apps now are kind of taking a lot of the features that have really been pushed forward by Microsoft, but just moving them to iOS. And I think it's comical in a way.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And I think we could talk forever about what Microsoft can do and how Windows 8 is a great OS. It is a great foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has a great future. They've got some work to do.
Oh, yeah.
They just made a huge port onto the Windows 8 kernel. So there's a lot of good stuff in the pipe. Microsoft's got some work to do. I think they're acutely aware that they need to get to it, but I don't want to sit here and talk about Windows Phone 8 because I think the rest of the evening, and we got many weeks ahead where we can talk about stuff. I do have to get going here, so I mean, obviously you guys are all more than welcome to keep chatting, but tune in next week. We're going to be doing the exact same thing, hopefully every Thursday or every Wednesday at about 8 p.m., and hopefully everybody can join us.
Yeah, we've got 10 spots in the Hangout. I guess it's basically just first in, best dressed. We can chat because we could do that on this now that I've figured out the stupid muting thing, so... Check that. I'll also get this up as an audio podcast for all the people, you know, who want to listen to it on the train and whatnot. So, yeah, listen to the recordings and check back next week.
Yep. I'll see you guys all on next Wednesday.
See you later.
All right.
See you guys. See you.